call the 93rd Senate Session of the Associated Students to order November 12, 2025 at 5:32 p.m. in the Joe Crowley Student Union in room 403. With that being said, I'm going to skip right down to Agenda Item 2, compliance in the back of the meeting law before we do our pledge and lending acknowledgments. Agenda Item 2A was the agenda posted 3 full working days by 9 a.m., not including the meeting date. It was attached below. Is the meeting link or the agenda attached to the H1 website for the agenda? Agenda Item 2B is the meeting taking place on the day of the week, month, day, year, at the time, location listed on the agenda? It is. Moving down to Agenda Item 2C, is Zoom link working available to the public? It is. With that being said, we're moving down to Agenda Item 3, Pledge of Allegiance and Land Acknowledgement. Please stand. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for the land acknowledgement. We acknowledge that the University of Nevada is situated on the traditional homelands of the Northern Paiute, Washoe, Western Shoshone, and Southern Paiute peoples. These lands continue to be a gathering place for indigenous peoples, and we recognize their deep connections to these places. We extend our appreciation for the opportunity to live and learn on their territory. You may now be seated. Moving on to Agenda Item 4. Agenda Item 4, roll call. The Secretary now call the roll, please.
Speaker Eklund.
Present.
Senator Atkinson.
Present.
Senator Barris.
Present.
Senator Bourgeois.
Present.
Senator Bolander.
Present.
Senator Castro.
Present.
Senator Calderon.
Present.
Sorry. Senator Dayton.
Present.
Senator DeBarger.
Present.
Senator Evans.
Present.
Senator Juan.
Present.
Parliamentarian Issa.
Present.
Senator Kitch.
Present.
Senator Custard.
Present.
Senator Lawson.
Present.
Senator Lucchese.
Present.
Senator McAndrews.
Present.
Senator Maricelli.
Present.
Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Present.
Senator Radke.
Present.
Senator Saporito.
Present.
Senator Villa.
Present.
A quorum is present.
All right, thank you. Before we move on, any speakers, I please ask you to use the mic for our Zoom recording and the transcript as well. Before we move on to Agenda Item 5, I do have a quick announcement. Anybody who is interested in signing the Veteran Services banner, Senator Saporito has the banner. I believe it is outside. If you want, there are a wide range of colors for you to sign it. So if you're leaving, like in the middle of the meeting, please, I urge you to sign it. This is hanging up in the Veteran Services Lounge for veterans to see the appreciation that AH1 is showing towards them. So I would kindly ask you to please sign it. But with that being said, moving on to Agenda Item 5A, adopts the minutes. There are no minutes to be approved of at this time. Moving down to Agenda Item 6, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? All right. Seeing none, we're going to quickly move to Agenda Item 7, receipt of petitions and correspondence to the Senate for possible action and for possible corrective action. This item is on the agenda due to the fact of novel concerns with Agenda Item 7A due to a meeting regarding this piece. So this is simply just procedure to make sure that it's approved and we can move forward with it and it can be passed as law. So that being said, I'm seeking motion to approve Agenda Item 7A through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Custer. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, Agenda Item 7A has been approved. Let's see. All righty. Before we begin with our presentations, we're going to be beginning with reports from... Oh, please don't. We're going to be beginning with reports from AHUN officers in the cabinet, so starting off with President Obama.
Where do you want me?
Either or with a mic.
If right, someone can use it. Can I turn this corner over here? Thank you. Are you holding it for me? Okay, I was going to say, like, bring my microphone. All right. Well, what a lovely setup. I really like this. It feels very groundy. Even though it's a square table, it feels a lot more close. And so this is very nice. So I'm Sophie Dujo, Commons Student Union staff. And so the evening centers, I hope that you're all doing well. My report is a little bit lengthy, but don't worry, I'll stay instructed on the records to have shoulder wounds. It's just that we do have law fest address. And so I want to share with the association an email they sent out earlier this this week, so we can make sure that this information is communicated through to the student body. It was mentioned, I just wanted to say that, as you guys have heard, Dr. Sandra Rodriguez has begun a new role within the Honors College as the Director of Outreach and Engagement. Please join me in congratulating her as she transitions into this next chapter. Dr. Rodriguez has dedicated more than 2 decades of service to AACUM, and so much of the foundation that we rely on today exists because of her leadership, care, and unwavering belief in students, and so we are all beneficiaries of her work. As with any transition, some adjustments will take place over the coming weeks, and that is completely normal. I want to reassure you that our operations remain steady and our mission remains strong. Dr. Speed, Senior Associate Director Amy Cookis, our professional staff and I are working closely to ensure everything continues smoothly and that support is accessible to each of you, and honestly, the everyday lives of you guys' operations should seem relatively unchanged. And so we'll continue working with AACUM and CSC leadership officers to make sure that this transition is as seamless as possible. And so outside of that, we've been quite busy. So 2 Saturdays ago, on a bad day, we had the pleasure of attending Bad Day Parade. And so thank you to EO Texan, VP McNamara, Senator Moss, Kezia Bolander, and Director of PAC Rights, Mark M, for showing off your PAC Prime. I also want to take a moment to address that the new rules imposed on tailgating for football games. I understand that this has been very frustrating for many students, and these policies were put into place with good intentions centered on university safety. At the same time, tailgating means a great deal to the student body, and it's a space for us to share campus pride, spirit, and a sense of community. And so because of that, we're working diligently with university leadership to navigate this change, find balance, and identify a path that preserves the spirit of the tradition while still prioritizing safety. And so please know that we hear the student body's concerns, and we're advocating collectively to protect this tradition. I know some senators are working on a resolution, and I've been in communication with them. And so I'm very confident that together, with our thoughtful collaboration between the AACUM and the university, we can find a solution that honors both safety and student experience. We also conducted interviews for 2 vacant positions, and so we're glad to say that Interim Director Isabel Hatch and Interim Director Hunter Mendoza will be nominated next week, and so you guys will be able to see them and make them official directors. They're really absolutely wonderful positions, and I'm really glad and excited to see where we're going to take this association to the next level. And so we've been engaging in numerous conversations about food insecurity on campus, and so we've been meeting with university leadership to support how institutions can support the community to have benefits for impacted by the government. Even as the end of the shutdown approaches, we continue to navigate and investigate long-term solutions to food insecurity because this issue extends far beyond the shutdown itself, and we have been having productive conversations with Governor Harris, CSC leadership, and Chair Saperito. So with that said, please be on the lookout for donations and volunteer opportunities. Whether you're able to give your time, supplies, or just helping to spread the word, your support makes a real difference. And so right now, there are volunteer opportunities with the Northern Nevada Food Bank and PAC Provisions, and the Center for Student Engagement is currently hosting a food and co-drive. And also, earlier today, the Office of the President hosted casual talks with the University Administration. So I also want to give another shout-out to Director Texan and Chief of Staff Dietrich for their hard work. It was wonderful to engage with students and hear their wide range of perspectives across the campus. And finally, we've been working to complete those with your back budget allocations, so thank you, Chairman Sally, and the rest of the budget and finance team, and we'll be seeing that on the table sometime next week. And that's pretty much what we've got, and so any questions?
Any questions? All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Next up on our list, Vice President McNamara.
How's it going, everyone? I will be relatively quick today, just to keep this moving. You guys have a lot of presentations today. I also want to start out with a huge shout out to DEO Texan for casual talks today and Chief of Staff Dietrich. That was an amazing event. And just seeing that level of interaction between administrators and students, if you were able to make it, was truly amazing. I've also been a part of the interviews for the Director of Campus and PR and Government Affairs these last couple of days. I've been dealing with transition logistics with some change in the CSE, and then the PAC Fund Business Program. So the post went up today on our Instagram. If you guys want to repost, share, send it to your friends, all students, please do that. And then I met with Interim Director Mendoza to discuss some plans for Wolfpack Business Days that we're planning, and that will just be a way to highlight certain businesses that that will be doing, you know, increased discounts for a certain day. So that should be fun. And then also earlier today, I attended the Committee on Budget and Finance meeting to discuss the budget changes that we're making. That's all I got. Stand for questions.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions? All right, thank you. Okay. due to the fact that I'm not sure if my voice is being picked up on the Zoom, I'm kind of unfortunate to steal one of the senator's mics, so you're going to have to bear with me a bit. Before we move on, Chief Justice Brenna Arnson did send in her report. She said, "Dear Speaker Ackland, I hope you're doing well. I'm unable to attend tonight's Senate meeting, so transcribe below. This is my report for tonight's meeting. Hi everyone, I hope you're doing well. I don't have much to report this week, but I wanted to let you know that Judicial Council will have an open justice position in December. We're making preparations for a smooth transition into election season, and you can expect to see that application open in December. Once it's officially available, I'll inform you all in case any of you have a candidate in mind. Also, a reminder, there's a pre-law panel happening tomorrow from 5:30 to 7 p.m. in the Reynolds School of Journalism, room 101. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me." All right, moving down our list, Chief Staff Gabrielle Dietrich.
Director Texan, for the record, I'm going to be reading Chief Staff Dietrich's report and then do mine after. So, fellow senators, today the Office of the President put on casual talks from University Admin. It was an amazing turnout, and it was wonderful to connect to so many students. It was certainly the most successful of the three I've been a part of. Alongside VP McNamara, I've also attended the Committee on Budget and Finance, where the updated budget with new allocations was favorably recommended to the Senate table. The internship is running smoothly with no major updates to share. The programs are each beginning to transition into skill-based activities, where we hope they will get hands-on experience in student leadership. Personally, my own interns are working on their very own events, a rave responsibly tabling event focused on Narcan awareness on campus. Once we've established a date and time, I will provide more information. Thank you. Please let me know if you have any questions. And then on to my report. As everyone's brought up so far, we did have casual talks today with UIC Admin. It was a great event. It was a very productive conversation, amazing turnout. I'm really glad we were able to connect with students and kind of talk to President Sandoval and a bunch of different senior leadership on campus as well. Thank you to Director Lee, Director Navarte, and Ava Fuller, one of our executive interns, for their additional support. I would not have been able to pick up 190 containers of canes alone, so appreciate it. We received a lot of feedback from students, which I'll be compiling into a spreadsheet with all the input and dividing that up by department and branch and sending that out along to University Admin as well. Just make sure all the feedback's being back to us and we're actually doing something with it. And then for that, Pack and Business Post went up as well, as the PACMIR brought up. I also joined in on that meeting for Full Pack Business Day, so we'll be looking at that. And then if you guys need any help with events, outreach, anything, always feel free to reach out.
All right, thank you. Any questions? All right, moving down our list. Wait, for the record, you read Chief Staff Dietrich and your report correct?
All right.
Cool. Moving down our list to the Director of Clubs and Orgs, Director Hess.
Good evening, Senators. It's been a busy week for clubs and orgs as we are looking forward to some events and projects coming up in the future. My team and I recently met with the Joe staff to tour the space and reserve the Joe for Spring Club Fair. We are looking forward to this event and hope to garner student engagement through interactions with clubs and organizations. We are also working with the accounting office to consolidate any duplicate club PG accounts and remove any accounts whose clubs are inactive or no longer exist. It is the hope that this consolidation will make accounting job easier as each club will only have one PG account instead of multiple. In addition, any club PG accounts that are not in use will have funds reallocated to my department to be used in future projects and additional club sport funding. We are also working with accounting to see any discrepancies between the amount allocated by my department and the amount actually spent by clubs in an attempt to address any issues with the submission of credit card and Amazon requests. Finally, my assistant director, Noel, and I have worked to develop a funding tracker that indicates how much clubs are spending for use by commissioners. If you guys have any questions about any of these projects, please feel free to reach out. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any questions? Senator Dayton and Senator Maselli.
If we have questions, what's the best way to contact you?
You can email me.
You can email me.
Did you give
that? Senator Maselli, how much money is in the inactive accounts?
I've heard tens of thousands, but we're still working on that. I'll get back to you when we have an actual number.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Moving down our list to the Director of Programming, Director Kretz.
Hi guys, I actually have a short report, so thank you. But I hope everyone's doing well. Like I said, this will be pretty short and sweet. The programming team is beginning to work on their welcome back events. I'll be sending out those dates once we have them solidified. We're still trying to work it out just because that week's going to be a 4-day week. We have our first intern event, PAXgiving, on Wednesday, November 19th from 5 to 7 p.m. I'll be sending out a gift post for this probably by Friday if anybody wants to come out, show some support for the interns. And as always, if you have any questions for me, you can email me, teams me. I think my phone number is also in my email signature, so if you need me pretty urgently, feel free to text me. Just please don't dox my number on your phone.
All right, thank you. Any questions? All right, thank you. Move down our list of interim director of government affairs, interim director Hatch.
I apologize in advance. Any repetition between the one where I read in DC last week. We're currently preparing for this special session in the Nevada legislature. We expected to hear about this tomorrow. We expected to discuss tomorrow. That hasn't really been planned, panned out exactly. We expect to hear about the governor's crime bill and potential SNAP benefits in that legislative session. Government Affairs has also had multiple conversations around food insecurity in the past few weeks, focusing on increasing access to resources and how to best reach students. We continue to wait with bated breath the energy for the region's December quarterly meeting agenda. We expect to see the predictable pricing program alongside other notable agenda items. Please reach out if you're interested in attending the public comment workshop. We're floating the idea of the first week in December in preparation for that meeting. I attended the quarterly meeting with Energy's Task Force on Power-Based Violence last week. Please let me know if you'd like to discuss the Task Force progress. I'm glad to update you. I met with the University's Office of Development and Community Engagement on Monday for the first time. This was my first of hopefully a long bi-weekly meeting time and a strong relationship between our department and their team. Our office is also following the City of Sparks Fire Department's new policy for a first responder fee, which would charge callers $527 for certain emergency services. The informational meetings are taking place tomorrow, and we will get back to you on that with that information as soon as possible. Staying up to date on these community meetings is crucial to our students, and we are dedicated to keeping everyone informed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Down our list to the Director of IDEA, Director of Marketing.
Hello everyone and senators. I hope you're all doing well today. I'll keep this brief. Our team has been working on the I Stand With Immigrants event, which will be our last event of the fall semester. My assistant director has reached out to your assistant directors and coordinators to invite your department to join us volunteer or help promote the event across campus. A big thank you to Department of Programming, Clubs and Orgs, and Government Affairs for already confirming your support. This event is all about advocating for immigrants and celebrating the belonging here at UNR, recognizing the stories, resilience, and cultural contributions that makes our community stronger and more diverse. The event will now take place on Monday, November 24th, from 4 to 7 p.m. in the KC Rotunda. I hope to see my fellow ASU members there. Thank you and have a great rest of your evening.
All right, thank you. Any questions? All right. Coming down to our next item, Director of Sustainability, Director Lee.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well and staying warm and taking care of yourselves. My report this week is short, but a couple of weeks ago, I presented to the programming interns on our department and educated them on our opportunities and structure. As for our interns, this week we are working on professional development regarding their resumes and learning about campus sustainability within ASUN, the university, and within the community. They've also began emailing community partners for our upcoming farmers market, which is on the 21st. Our final farmers market of the semester will be next Friday at the KC Breezeway from 12 to 2, and we'll have local businesses from the Riverside Farmers Market come out and distribute goods, all for free. And lastly, we will be doing our last cleanup of the semester, November 15th, so this Saturday, from 3 to 4:30. We will have sandwiches and refreshments, so please sign up on Gift Pulse and Show Marketing. So if you have any questions, please sign up.
Senator McAndrews.
Where are you guys meeting for the Saturday?
For this Saturday, we're going to be meeting at the south end of the block because we'll be cleaning up University Way, so essentially Greek Row. So if you contribute to the weekend, please see yourself.
All
Senator Kendrick, go ahead.
And then both of the farmers' markets are going to be held in the KC Breezeway?
There's only one.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's going to be in the Breezeway. Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Moving down our list to the Interim Director of Campus and Public Relations, Interim Director Mendoza.
Hello everyone. Earlier today I posted the pipeline and business program post, and that has been doing really well thanks to Vice President McNamara and Director Kyson. We hope to start spotlighting those businesses on Instagram soon as well. Also, Speaker Pro Tem Moss and I met with Madison Eifert from UPDNC to brainstorm ways ASUN can work with them on putting out a survey for students and their campus safety concerns. I have been meeting with other departments to talk about the goals and concerns with the marketing, as well as communication with Inkblot. Additionally, I will be meeting with Senator Evans and DeBarger tomorrow to talk about campus-wide donations. Thank you.
Any questions? Great, thank you. Moving down our list to the Director of Campus Wellness, Director Holman.
Director Holman, the record. Hi guys, I hope you're doing well. Not too much to report on. Next week we'll be having our Awaken event, which will be on November 18th in William Ryan Building, room 2003 at 6 p.m. There'll be free canes, which is going to be a documentary on the realities of sex trafficking in Nevada. And then there's going to be a panel afterwards as well. Also, UNRP, Nevada Cares, and Student Health Central will be present to distribute resources. And then the other thing that we've been working on in our department is we've been meeting with our interns. We've had two meetings now, and we have been talking about how to get them involved in planning our SSW meetings. Currently, we have two events that are going to happen for sure. We are planning on the first week of March as of right now. Typically how we plan this week is partly sustainability, so we usually do two or three events and then sustainability does a few events as well during the week. We are still in very early stages of planning this, so we are still kind of feeling out what we think would be best for this event week, but we will be having a resource fair like we do every year, and then we'll also probably be doing a scrapbooking planting event as well. And then last week, I also mentioned that the College of Engineering is looking for an undergraduate representative for the Differential Fees Committee. I believe that position is still open. Any College of Engineering student who is in 300 level classes or above is eligible. They meet twice a semester and it's a paid position. So if you're interested, please let me know. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions? Senator Bailey.
When is the sex trafficking event and where?
Yeah, so sex trafficking event is on November 18th. It'll be in the Raggio Building, room 2003, starting at 6 p.m. Pretty much it's a partnership with Awaken, which is a local nonprofit who they pretty much like spread awareness and try to end sex trafficking in Nevada. So they're gonna be showing a documentary for the first hour, and the second hour will be a panel. And then there'll also be like food resources as well.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Moving down on the list to the Director of Ethics and Compliance, Director Oster.
Hi everyone, another really short report. There are no charges to review this week, and my fun fact this week is in Detroit, Michigan, it is illegal to sleep in a bathtub. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Director Oster. Before we move on to our guests and presentations, I'm going to give my report real quick. Next week we have two presentations again. We have an update regarding the tech fee that we passed last year. We also have the Vice President of Admin and Finance coming in to present, so it should be a really good meeting. A lot of good questions I hope will be asked, especially with regard to the Vice President of Admin and Finance, Mr. Klinger. Timeline for today's meeting, I'm hoping to get us out of here by 8:30. It shouldn't be too long of a meeting. I think probably the longest thing we'll have is CAP reports and our guests with their presentations. Other than that, we have two bills for second reading. One of them I accidentally put in second reading, so mind that. It's the Senate Joint Resolution one. That'll just be put on the agenda next week for first reading. But other than that, it shouldn't be too long.
Always, I agendize Thursday at 5:30, so if you have anything you guys want to send to me for first reading or fast track, please get it to me by Thursday at 5:30, because that's when I agendize, so please adhere to that. As always, my one-on-one, if you guys want to set something up with me, is always in the teams, so that's always there. And then in regards to our open Senate positions, next week I'm hoping to have journalism. Right now we have two candidates. I put an ad in the Reynolds School of Journalism newspaper. So hopefully within the next day or two, hopefully some more people will apply. If not, we have two candidates as of right now. And then on December 3rd, I'm looking at doing the public health open position. Right now we only have one candidate as of right now, so if you guys know anybody in that position, please tell them to apply. And then for science and engineering, I'm just going to wait until next semester, just because I don't want to rush anything, and we already got a lot on the agenda over the next four meetings, and I don't want to rush anything like that, because I want the best candidates to win, and I want the best candidates to apply. After the 19th of November, I only have two bills scheduled to be in committee. If there are any other bills you are aware of or would like to push through the last two meetings after the 19th, please let me know. So please adhere to that. And then for the 19th meeting, just going over everything, we will be there till 10. We have two presentations. We have two candidates for cabinet positions, and then we have possibly more than two candidates for one seat for journalism, and then we also have five pieces for secondary. And I know we have a bunch of public comment in regards to the tailgate situation that's happening, so bring snacks, bring water. I'll probably call a recess in the middle of the meeting just so you guys can get acquainted, stretch your legs, all that good stuff, but yeah, prepare for a 10 p.m. meeting. Sorry, it's just how it goes. Let's see. But yeah, any questions regarding my report? All right. With that being said, we're moving down. Sorry, is this too loud? Am I speaking too loud?
No, you're fine.
Okay. Moving down to agenda item 19C, the Director of Residential Life, Housing, and Food. You want to come up here? All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. What is that? Kale?
Matcha. Matcha something vegetable.
Good evening, ASUN. Happy Wednesday. Right, this Wednesday after a holiday. Thank you very much for being here and entertaining this hopefully short session. My name is Dean Kennedy. I use he, him, his pronouns. Currently Executive Director for Residential Life Housing Food Services and Interim Associate Vice President for Student Life Services, overseeing the Fitness Center, Student Union, and Division-wide Assessment for Student Services. I am very grateful for a conversation with Senator Huang, who wanted to have a conversation a little bit about housing. So here you go. So just really briefly, we're going to talk a little bit about like who we are as a department. Show of hands, who has lived on campus at this university?
Fantastic.
Thank you very much. That's a nice bar for me. Anyway, talk a little bit about housing, benefits of living on campus, talk a little bit about the dining, because we oversee the dining contract, and then jumping into the rate increase that we're proposing to the Board of Regents, just so you have a sense as to what we're asking for the Board of Regents. So, of utmost importance for this group, is this slide. This is who we are as a department. So the things that we value, sense of belonging, inclusion, individual growth, integrity, customer service, we try to do that in everything that we do. And our mission is about supporting academic achievement, increasing access, removing barriers, having high quality services, offering healthy and accessible food options, and providing as safe a housing environment as possible for students that live on campus. So if you're not familiar with housing, this is a little bit like a snapshot of who we are. So there are 9 residence halls. We also oversee a graduate housing complex called Founders of Village. We have about 250 full-time graduate and student staff members.
We have our own facilities team, like within our department, as opposed to working with the university facilities. So we are an auxiliary, and that means that when students pay rent, when students purchase meal plans, like that is the money for our budget. So there's no state support, there's no university support for what we do. We contribute about $1 million a year to students and the university. That includes about $500,000 in positions across the Division of Student Services. And that is a way for us to contribute to the academic mission of the university. As I mentioned, we oversee the dining contract. So the name of the company is Chartwell's Higher Education, but we try to use Nevada Dining. So you may see Chartwell's, you may see Nevada Dining. So ultimately that contract reports to our office. And then, fun fact, over the past 5 years, we've seen a 30% increase of current students who live on campus choosing to live on campus again. I'd like to think that has something to do with the amazing experience of living on campus. So, some other just interesting things about housing. The residence halls are locked 24/7. You need card access to get to your room. We have on-duty staff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A great relationship with the police department, so if something were to happen in housing, they're usually 1 to 3 minutes away, which is really helpful. We offer wraparound support. I mentioned we have 250 staff members at multiple levels. So we prioritize staff selection and training. We want to make sure we're hiring great staff members to support the students that are living on campus. We have a residential curriculum, which I'll talk about in a second. This past year, we had about $400,000 in housing scholarships to help students get access to living on campus. We work with probably 25 campus partners on a daily basis. So when students are connected with like RAs, resident assistants on the floors, academic mentors, our desk staff, any of our other student staff members, graduate full-time staff members, when issues come up, like it's a quick referral for getting those students to make sure that they're getting the support that they need. We also have an incident response team. So when things happen on campus, locally, regionally, nationally, internationally, that may impact our students, we have a team of individuals from across the department that get together, talk about what occurred, who are the students that would be impacted, their identities, intersecting identities, and what are things that we can do to support those students. And super arrogantly, I will share that some of the work that this team has done has helped encourage the president's office to also send out more messages when things happen on campus and off campus. So our residential curriculum, some may think that, so if you live on campus, you get pizza at movie nights, some programs, that is probably a 30 to 40 year old premise. So all of our staff are grounded in this curriculum. So just as the classes that you're in, you have a curriculum and a syllabus that help guide learning, our team follows Grow, Connect, Wellness, and Achieve as principles. So programming, connection points, like what our staff does, is grounded in these four areas to help make sure that the experience that we're providing students that are living on campus is intentional in connecting them with resources so they can be successful. One of our just amazing things compared to other institutions, we have 15 living learning communities. A living learning community is anywhere 10 to 35 students. In the Honors College, a little bit more. But students that live together and they have a similar either academic program or interest or an identity, that provides a solid network of support for students who share that identity and or academic interest. And we find that students that are in those living learning communities more likely to stay. I have some data to show that in a little bit. But very excited, we're affiliated with most of the colleges and schools, journalism, School of Medicine, and School of Nursing are tangentially connected. We're trying to get journalism back. So RHA, hopefully some of you who lived on campus are familiar with that, the Residential Housing or Residence Hall Association. So that is our similar to ASUN for students that live on campus. Like their job is leadership, programming, and advocacy. So for the 3,200 students that are living on campus, like what are we doing to help student leaders teach student leaders about principles of leadership? So that's leadership style, running a meeting, programming, how do you develop a program, how do you develop a budget, advocacy, So we had a great conversation with the RHA leadership today based on a town hall that we had last week. And then we're going to review some of our doors in our buildings to find out like why they open or why they lock at certain times. So teaching students how to advocate for themselves related to where they live. And I believe some of you in this room have been connected with some of the programming and advocacy efforts with RHA. So benefits of living on campus, this should about surprise nobody in this room. So generally, students that live on campus, and this has been around for 30 to 40 years, students get higher GPAs. They're more likely to have high academic connections. There's in-hall tutoring, so our academic mentors, we have 15 academic mentors, their jobs are to help support students in their academic success. Lots of study space throughout the residence halls, and I mentioned earlier, learning communities. So from an academic performance perspective, the numbers, returning students who live on campus get higher GPAs, first year students living on campus get higher GPAs. From a retention perspective, data from pre-COVID, well, I guess during the very beginning of COVID, so students that are living on campus like retain at a higher rate than students that don't live on campus. And then kind of after COVID, although some would still argue that we're still in COVID, same thing. So students that are living on campus are coming back to the university. They may not necessarily live on campus, but they're coming back to the university. And in my experience, that is because of the support that they're receiving as a first-year student. They're developing those connections, getting involved on campus, building those relationships, connecting with faculty so that they stay. So more important than data, at least from my perspective, is what students are saying about living on campus. So these are just some snapshots. My favorite is meeting friends and being a few floors away. And then the bottom quote, for everything accessible and there's so many resources. So students that are living on campus are recognizing the importance of living on campus. And I would say the data reflects that that is accurate. So transitioning to eating on campus. Again, because we oversee the contract. There are about 25 locations on campus where you can eat. I would speculate that some of you in this room did not know that, because there are some dining locations and some pretty far off locations. But we try to make sure that there's places for students to eat across the entire university. And so a bunch of those are operated by Nevada Dining, Chartwell's, the company I mentioned that are connected with our department. And then there are individual leased dining facilities within the Joe Kelly Student Union, Panda Express, Taco Bell, that kind of thing. But plenty of places to eat around campus, which is important for us. Highly encourage students to get a meal plan, because in the long run, it's actually cheaper. So when you purchase a meal plan, you basically pay less per meal when you're at different dining venues. So also, there's data out there that shows that when you eat on campus, you're eating with people who are different than you, you're getting to know people who are different than you, you're building relationships and connections, more so than if you don't eat on campus. So if you don't have a meal plan and you're getting those airline points or whatever, using a credit or debit card, I would encourage you to look at a meal plan, because every time you swipe your card for Food Bucks or Wolf Bucks, you get 10% as a discount, and you don't have to pay tax on that food. So from a long-term perspective, like that just helps save you money. Also, every student has access to our dietitians who work with Nevada Dining. But if you have a meal plan, it's a little bit easier to get connected. Her name is Lisa, she's fantastic. So whether you eat in Pack Place, which is the all-you-can-eat dining environment, or any of the retail establishments, like Lisa can help you if you have dietary restrictions, allergies, like she can actually develop a program to make sure you're getting the food that you need to be successful. All right, rate increases. So in general, rates increase about 2 to 7% a year on college campuses, and this is related to like housing and food. So general things that go into that, operational costs, staffing, facilities repairs. So as I mentioned, from a housing perspective, like all of the money that we get to keep our buildings in great shape comes from rent. And since COVID, costs have increased 20, 30, 40% for like heating, ventilation, air conditioning, plumbing, electricity, things that just are are general on campus, but those have increased dramatically. Debt service, we only own 2-3 residence halls. The rest we're still paying bond, which is about $8.5 million a year that we're paying for the debt service. And then the fun one is just general annual inflationary costs. So I learned last week that the university has increased the administrative service charge to our department from 5% to 7%. And that is this fiscal year. That may be new information for you. So for our budget, which is about a $37, $38 million budget, that is a $700,000, $800,000 increase in what the university is asking our department to pay for the university. And that money goes towards human resources, purchasing some of the more commonly used infrastructure services. And that is a result of reduced state's funding for higher education. So as ASUN, you're probably pretty familiar with the $12 million budget shortfall from the state. So the administrative fee that we're paying is designed to offset that by a little bit. But that means that like rates need to increase so we can pay for those things because we still have boilers, roofs to fix. So what we're going to be presenting to the Board of Regents at December 4th and 5th is this. So an average 3.2% increase for the housing rates and a 4% increase for the dining rates. I have those prices here in a second. So how we come up with that number is largely based on the consumer price index. So if you're interested, totally check that out. There's different consumer price indexes across the United States. We follow the consumer price index for the West. Shocker, we are in the West. So what we know is that employment is scheduled to go up 3.7%, food 4.2, housing 3.2, and utilities are continuing to jump from COVID. So while we need more than a 3.2% increase to cover some of our big capital projects, because COVID took a pretty big dent with our ability to upgrade some of our facilities, we're shifting some things around and just asking for that 3.2. So this is a snapshot of what our rates would look like next year if the Board of Regents approves our rates. I'm not expecting you to memorize this. What is more important is this slide. We're looking at off-campus housing. So when we take a Peavine or Sierra room, which is the most comparable to your single bed to single bathroom off campus, for a 9-month lease, it comes out to about $1,150 per month. So for off campus housing, when we do research, it is cheaper to live on campus than live off campus. And we know that students are not necessarily paying some of these rates. Because when you, for those of you that are living off campus, when you go to sign your lease agreement, they may throw like discounts or iPads or whatever at students. But when we ask, these are the rates that they give us. What is important about these numbers is that $1,158 is what we're proposing for the next fiscal year. So starting August of 26, the rates for off-campus housing that we were able to glean from off-campus folks is for this year. So likely those off-campus rates are going to go up a little bit more. So if you're thinking about, well, gosh, how does the University of Nevada compare to other universities? Here you go. So we are located kind of in the bottom third-ish or so of other universities. And we try really hard to keep that number there. So I'm sure that you all are looking at other universities when you're choosing to come to this one, whether as an incoming first-year student or a transfer student. So we're trying to keep our housing rates like competitive in the bottom range. The number that I'm going to ask you to pay a little bit of attention to is this 14,370. So that's the University of Oregon. That's their housing and dining rate. So housing and meal plan. So as we think about meal plans, this is what we're again proposing to the Board of Regents. It's a 4% increase of housing rates, just to get a snapshot of what that looks like. And the important number is for our basic room, it's about $12,500 a year for students to live on campus and have a meal plan. And remember that University of Oregon number? 14,370, yeah. So just kind of taking an apples to apples comparison of our university and the University of Oregon, like it's cheaper to live on campus and have a meal. So that is kind of housing and rate increases. Senator Hong, how did I do?
Good.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
Any big questions?
Any questions? Senator Barger, Senator Saporito, any others? Senator Dayton? All right, go ahead.
Thank you. So this Food Service Advisory Committee does still meet. It has representatives from ASUN, the Graduate Student Association, Office of Prospective Students. There are 12 individuals that meet on that committee. They meet on a monthly basis. And the purpose of that is to get feedback from across dining venues. We've worked with the Joe Crowley Student Union to merge so that instead of, so when you were on the committee, it was a Food Service Advisory Committee, really just for Nevada dining. So that's the path place and the locations outside of the Joe Crowley Student Union, except for Habit, which is inside the Joe. So now it is all food on campus. So it meets on a monthly basis. The goal is to, we get meal plans for the individuals that are on the committee. We encourage them, / mandate them, to eat across campus at least once a month. And then the goal is to get feedback back to the committee. So and with your help in the past couple of years, we've expanded office hours. Dunkin' Donuts is coming to replace Create. That is a direct result of the Food Service Advisory Committee. The Nibble Nook, which is a like a vending area with hot and room temperature items in between Argenta and Nye, is a result of the Food Service Advisory Committee. So we now have a location on campus where students who live on campus can get food, at least hot food, like 24 hours a day. So thank you for your service.
Real quick, I have a question. You guys are going to the Board of Regents meeting this December, right, for ask for an increase?
Yes.
Is there, well, it's not really a, it's kind of an open question. Due to that fact, this happens kind of every year when we have presenters like yourself come in and present either ask for engagement support. This happened a lot last year, so just throwing this out there, if there are any senators, I'm guessing Senator Wong, you may, but if there are any senators who would like to write a resolution in support of this and work with Nevada Dining, that's an opportunity you guys have, so yeah, just want to throw that out there. Senator Saporito, go ahead. Do you have the mic?
You're all good. It's not really a question. Can you just go back to the slide before local apartment rate comparisons?
This should be, keep going. Next one. There you go. That one?
The one before it.
Okay. That's all on campus housing options prices. Not compared.
Yeah. Could you also go to the slide regarding the increase seen for the meal plans?
Is that forward or back?
Forward. That's the one big back.
Okay, thank you.
I'll also say too, for every presentation we have, I always include them in the box. If you guys want to go back through and look at the data or the numbers for this, it's always in the box. Everything in the box. So there you go. Senator Dayton, I know you have a question.
Hi, you mentioned in your presentation that there are scholarships for like housing. How do students apply for scholarships? And what eligibility questions are there?
Great question. So the scholarships are geared towards incoming first year students and transfer students. And what happens is, so our department allocates this past year is $400,000 to the Office of Prospective Students. So when they're having conversations with students about coming to this university, they make determinations as to a student's financial ability to come to the university. And I believe fee that's anywhere from like $500 a semester up to $1,800 or $2,000 a semester, depending on the student's situation, financial background, that kind of thing. The key is for incoming students to connect with their admissions recruiter, who is from the Office of Prospective Students. Go ahead.
So just to clarify, there's no formal application process. It just happens, like, money's allocated based on the admission recruiters.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All righty. Thank you so much. All right, next, we have the Director of Fitness and Recreational Sports. If you want to come on up here.
We conducted a campus-wide survey in February 2025. So I just wanted to come and share some of that information. And then, of course, answer any questions you all have about the Fitness Center. We go with that? All right, let's get this thing going. And then for those of you who haven't met me or seen me, so Sheena Harvey, so I've actually been on this campus since 2002. So the university can't get rid of me now. I've been in the same department since I was a sophomore at the university. So we were housed in Lombardi Recreation for decades, and then the Fitness Center opened in 2017. So I've been a part of the department since I was 19. I just turned 41 this year. So like I said, they can't get rid of me. Snaps and kudos. But let's just go ahead and jump right in. So again, I put up there, why is Sheena here again? So the fee increase was already approved. We appreciate the support that we got from the student body. But just always wanted to give you all just kind of this image and this kind of information for those of you who were not here. When we're at the Lombardi Recreation Center, we only really have about 30,000 square feet dedicated to fitness. So thinking about when I came as a freshman here in 2002, maybe 15,000 students, maybe a little bit less, and we had Lombardi, and it was great. But at that time, it was an optional fee, and it was $80 for the semester or $216 for the year. So it was an optional fee that a lot of students cannot afford. So when we get into where we are now, this amazing fitness center that you all voted on, 108,000 square feet existing fitness space, and it's actually 55, I apologize. So we went from 45 to 55, and then with the fee increase, we'll be going to 65. And then with that, along with that too, we do day passes over the counter. So that's one way we can generate revenue. I'll get into that in a little bit. Semester locker rental fees will increase again, and then also to the student mandatory fee. So when I came last time, we kind of really tried to break down to give you all information about what the fee could potentially generate, right? As we know, there's been an enrollment cliff in higher ed, but I think our university has been thriving a little bit. We don't consider the dual enrolled students. We have a pretty decent amount of students enrolled at the institution. So when we look at, we base our fee generation off of 43,701 students, and we're counting students for the fall, spring, and summer semester. So if we're on track to get, bless you, to get as many students as we've gotten in the past years, we are potentially, with this new fee, generating about $1.7 million, right? Which, think about that, before we were generating about $1.3 million. And that was essentially the budget we had at Lombardi with that much square footage. And then we transferred over to that. So I think we're still working on this piece of how are we really going to maintain, right, without removing programming services, right, because a lot of things are included with the membership. So like I said, we just like to come back to you all every semester to kind of give you updates on what's going on. So when I came last time, we talked about just the increases, so you know about COLA. So we did the two COLA, so we don't receive any state funding for the fitness center. So all of it is student administered fees and any little ways that we can generate revenue. So over-the-counter sales, for day passes, a lot of students will bring their friends to play basketball and things like that. A lot of people, faculty and staff that don't have memberships, they'll come swim for the day. So it's the little things that kind of build up for us a little bit that allows us to put that right back into our program and services. So, you know, the towels that some people steal sometimes, but, you know, think about the towels that are provided for showers and working out and cleaning. Those are some of the costs that we eat. We've been doing hourly student worker wage increases for the last couple years. So making sure that we're getting up to minimum wage. So our entry level students, meaning the students that work building operations, the ones you see with the blue polos, the ones you see cleaning, sweeping, vacuuming, and all those things, those students are kind of, they're at minimum wage. And then of course we have a great student development model in the sense to where students have an opportunity to become leaders, meaning they can be a supervisor for building, intramural sports, they can be a head lifeguard, they can be on our social media team, and they can do some extra stuff as a student leader within the department. So looking at where we're increasing though, right, we try to share between fiscal year 23 and 29, is that a call first? Bless you. We're looking at a 5.18% increase in operating costs, right? That's everything across the board. And then so, you know, we just had a chance to get new treadmills, and treadmills are heavy. So freight is high. And then we know the tariffs are going, all these things going on. So equipment costs and freight, pretty big costs. And then with us, we've worked many, many years with ASUN for the Center for Student Engagement. So we've transitioned competitive club sports over to us. So with that being said, it didn't essentially come with a budget or with a position, but the clubs are kind of student-led. So they, you know, a lot of clubs have this tradition to do fundraising. There's a lot of community support for a lot of the long-standing clubs like men's lacrosse and men's rugby and things like that. So they have a lot of community support. They have alumni associations. And actually, club rugby teams actually are going to get an endowment, which is awesome, right? But I wish that all clubs could get an endowment, because that would help loosen up some of the financial strain that some of the clubs have. So we are open 360 days out of the year. We don't close unless the governor says so or the president says so. We do delayed starts, of course, during the inclement weather periods. Integral sports are free now. So when we came back from COVID, so after 2020, 2021, it used to be pay to play. So students would have to pay a per team fee, but now it's free to play, but you do have to pay a forfeit fee if your team forfeits. Fitness classes have always been a part of the member service, so we offer over 100 classes per week. We talked about the minimum wage piece, but I want to kind of, you know, draw your attention to our employee costs. So fiscal year 23, we're paying about $405,000 for student workers, and then fiscal year 24, about $415,000, $560,000, and then it's continuing to go up, right? Students help us run the facility, right? We can't open, operate, and close down without our students, so that it's a number that doesn't bother me. Maybe, I mean, if you really see, look at our budget, most of it goes to student wages, right? When you think about equipment, we're changing stuff out 5 to 7 years, a little bit longer because we get life on it, but a lot of times we can get a deal if we can trade in equipment when it's still in pretty decent condition, so we can keep up having the state of art equipment at the fitness center. And then other ways we generate revenue, as mentioned, locker rentals and then faculty memberships. This is kind of just an overview too, just giving more overview. So with the $55 that you pay now as students, it'll go up to $65 starting July 1, right? So with that number again, that 43,701 students, we could potentially generate 2.1 million, right? But it just depends on student enrollment. And as you can see here, just reminding, we don't get the whole fee, right? Because as Dean mentioned kind of for Res Life, you know, some things still are being paid off, so our fitness center is still being paid off. So $15 of the fee will continue to go to the bond to pay off the construction. So just gotta give you more visual about the day pass fee. So we were at $10 for a long time, y'all. You remember I shared my age, I'm not gonna say it again, do the math. But we're at $10 for a while, like when I was a student. So going up to 15 was a big deal for us, and then us going up to 20 in the next fiscal year is gonna be a big deal, but we are still at a low cost compared to community gyms, right? You go to a community gym, I went to Vegas and visit my grandma, and I was like, hey, I don't want to work out anywhere else, but I went there, it was like $35 per day. I said, yeah, gym ain't even a nice bar. So $35, so $20 is still a reasonable cost, allowing us to generate some funds to help put back into the facility. And then same thing with lockers, right? So it was was 40. We had that since we were open, 45, then it'll go up to 50. And we'll be there for a while. When you think about lockers, though, what we've been doing, just so you know, we'll be doing a locker audit, right? Because it makes sense to provide lockers for the higher number of users. We think about our student body. And a lot of faculty like lockers, but they're not the biggest group using the facility. So we'll be sending out some massive messages. I'll probably get some nastygrams. It's fine, but a lot of what we're gonna transition into is making sure that we have locker space for students if they wanna rent lockers for the semester. Looking at some of the projects and maintenance, as I said, we switched out the treadmills, so that was about $500,000 project. Spivvy Studios, our cycle room, has been updated with some more technology, which really makes that area fun, doing special programs for groups and things like that. So clubs and organizations, not only they can take classes as a group, but they can come in and request use of that space. And then this winter break, I'm praying facilities, they drive me crazy, but we're working on the flooring project. So we're gonna be replacing the flooring on the third level. If you've been here for a while, some of you may not have been, the flooring we got for the facility was like construction, okay, let's get some flooring laid down. So the first year after we opened, so in 2018, we did performance flooring on level one. So we'll do performance flooring on level three, which will help with like sound, the treadmills move a lot, we can start bolting some stuff down. So we're super excited about that project. And that's, right now, it's probably at like 350, but some things could come up, so we allocated like $500,000 for that as well. The fans, for a while, were down on level one. I was like, please don't say that I have to replace these fans, these really big fans. So we pulled some quotes, and if we do have to replace the fans, that's about $155,000. Pre-core equipment, just giving you some information about what some of those things cost. So with that flooring project, we're hoping to switch out some of that equipment, moving some things that are not being used as much, working with our vendors to see what equipment we can get switched out. And then just to give you a number, each fiscal year, we're spending about $75,000 just on the weights, the padding, the small equipment that you kind of see through the first level and through the other floor, deck basketballs, all that stuff. So right off the top, $75,000. Just a little bit more information to kind of give you a visual. We're working with campus real estate to establish a pool fee. So when we start that new, the new fee increases in all the areas, memberships and things like that, we will be hopefully have an approved pool use fee. So right now the LaGuardia Recreation Pool is utilized by athletics. So we have the whole space for the swim and dive team for practice and competition. It's open swim hours for you all as members. We oversee the academic units, classes for physical activity, so PEX classes, swimming for fitness classes take place in there. And then we also hold space for clubs, and then lastly, outside groups. But outside groups are coming in and they're getting it for dirt cheap. So when I became a director for this department about 4 years ago, I said, how come we can't charge for outside groups to come in? It's like a privilege to be on campus and use the space. So finally we got the go. So we're working with real estate to establish an hourly fee for internal and external groups. And then we have a lot of times where there's groups that come in and want to just use locker rooms. So we'll have a whole fee structure. And of course, I'll come back to you all to share that information when we have it approved. And then, as always, I like to say we're a big part of recruitment, retention, persistent to graduation. So many tours are coming through. This is a recruitment tool for the institution. We really care about the students and what they want, what they want to see on their campus. So next step, I'm just gonna share some of our survey feedback that we got from the February survey, and then I'll be done, and then I can answer any questions. All right, so we had outreach and invitations for spring, so it was sent out to all undergraduate students and graduate students, so about 14,820, and then about 3,800 graduate students. So kind of looking here, the undergraduate response rate was about 11%, which was about 1,688 students. And then we tried to incentivize it. So our incentive was headphones, right? Beats. Everybody, I mean, I thought it was cool. I didn't win. It's cool. I'm not going to take the survey. But we try to do stuff that relates to fitness. So in the past, we've done things similar to what can students use in our facility. So that was what we incentivized with. And then just to give you details, what we were trying to figure out, because being in student services and this initiative for our institution, right? We want to get students here. We want to keep them. We want them to have a good time, and then we want you to graduate. So looking at, does the Fitness and Recreation Sports Department programs and facilities impact recruitment and retention? What are the benefits of utilizing the space? How does the utilization enhance sense of belonging? And then, of course, just sharing a little bit of research with you. So this is just giving you some information about some of the demographics. I won't read that all to you, but kind of let you poke at it for a little bit. The last time we were able to do a campus-wide survey was the year after we opened. So there was a gap, right? We had COVID, we had some other things going on, and then getting more support from the Office of Student Persistent Research, and then now that position is vacant, so we're working on seeing when we can do another campus-wide survey. So as you can see, we try to break it down too by who's in-state and out-of-state, who's enrolled full-time. About 90% of the respondents were enrolled full-time, average age 22 students. 22 students identified as first gen, and then you can see these particular groups that folks identify with LGBTQIA+2S, 26%, and then 3% identified as veterans. So we try to be strategic too, not only in targeting just marketing, but what are we providing and who are we missing? I think that's the biggest thing. I like to know what we suck at. So it's like, cool, you're great at this, but it's just like, okay, who are we missing? Why do students that don't come to the fitness center? Why is it that? They're not comfortable. So these are, the demographic stuff helps us as well. Just kind of made me giggle a little bit. Biggest source of bias, so 90% of the respondents were current users, right? So we're getting information. But 194 or 10% were non-users. So the whys, no time, parking. I think everybody's too fan of parking. Too crowded, not aware of the offerings, don't know how to use the equipment, and then uses a different gym. And then in their words, I work full time. Too many hot people. That made me get on the plane. So far from campus, I have my own gym, parking is horrible, and then it's too far to walk, right? So depending on, you know, looking at that on campus versus off campus kind of percentage, right? It could be too far to walk for some people that may not have transportation, or don't want to get on the bus line, and things like that. So does FRS impact recruitment and retention? So just looking at this, right, enhances social and academic life of students and attracts students during recruitment, as we know. We're actually going to be working with the Office of Prospective Students. We're going to be hosting the admitted student reception in April. So that'll be kind of cool to do that and host that in the gymnasium space. So we were asked to do that. So I guess I was like, oh, I guess we are a really big part of recruitment and, you know, getting admitted students into the space. Knowing the benefits of involvement, this is stuff you all probably know or heard of, or why you actually go to the fitness center. It ties into academics too, right? Healthy body, healthy mind. So we just want to make sure that you all know that this is what's coming up from our campus. We look at new themes in recruitment, club sports. We're increasingly used to recruit and retain male students. And then esports is becoming a new path for recruitment too. We don't have a dedicated space on campus. But over the years, there's been some talks of some areas near campus where these things could occur. We have clubs on campus that are engaged in these type of activities too. So we are taking note of this so we can make sure that we can be supportive of this as well. Just give you more insight as campus rec facilities impact recruitment retention. So there were some sample questions of looking at when deciding to attend college, how important was campus recreation facilities? And then deciding to continue in this college, how important are the programs? So just kind of give you a visual here. There was high importance in the sense in some areas, so that made us a little happy. But at the same time, right, knowing more about our student body and kind of really breaking it down, not only demographically and race, gender, maybe social class, but also too, the academic side. So what are you majoring in? How are you receiving information? What are your schedules, you know, for your academic units? When are you on campus? When you're not on campus and things like that. So we're taking into consideration all that. What are the benefits of the utilization of the fitness center and program and services? We look at the research part of it, right? Improves sleep. I mean, who's really getting sleep? No sleeping? I feel like you must sleep. It's okay. Breaks coming up. Who gets your sleep? Physical functioning and overall health, mental and emotional well-being, and helping stress, helping with your stress as a college student. But this was some of the information here. Grades for physical fitness and mental health. Looking at the improvement of physical fitness, mental health, and physical health. So looking at that stress, self-confidence, balance, coordination, time management, and then relational skills, right? So we are a big campus, a lot of folks here, a lot of opportunities to connect with people. And then involvement benefits, some people said it did have a major impact on recruitment and retention, and health increases across all types of benefits, the physical, the mental, the confidence, the cognitive. And then looking at what other people are participating in outside of our programs and services, people are involved in clubs and organizations, returning and supporting life, veterans, and then also to our student athletes on campus. And then kind of towards the end, how does FRS utilization enhance sense of belonging? Strong sense of belonging, just this enhancement piece. The cliche, the melting pot. Intramurals in particular have a positive impact on belonging. So I coordinated intramural sports for about 10 years. Everybody yelled at my refs, but most of the time everybody was having a good time. It was good times. Best 10 years of my life. So that's just a kind of little infographic to show what we were 2023, 2024, looking at our impact of our program for humans. So thank you.
Alrighty. Does anybody have any questions? Senator Calderon, anybody else? Senator Calderon, then Senator McAndrews.
Thank you so much for the great presentation. I just have one quick question. Do you ever plan on buying Smith machine to the gym?
I literally was going to ask that.
I knew it was coming. So Smith machine, so when we kind of our philosophy with equipment, number one, they take up so much space. They take up a lot of space. And for us, we're really kind of foundationally setting like functional fitness. So that's why you see the 150 foot pull-up rig. We think about us trying to be innovative in the sense of how our gym is laid out. We didn't want to do Smith machines because it just didn't fit in with our philosophy. Great question, though. You're not the only one, I promise.
Senator McAndrews.
Okay, so I see that there was like a little mishap this semester. I am so curious how that plays into our budget.
Did I hear about the flood?
No.
So we had an incident to where some staff, they were moving, because we have a tumbling class, it's like packed gymnastics. And they were moving mats, big old mats from that room, trying to get them up for class. And there was a fire sprinkler in the corner. And they moved in, they didn't see it, and it nicked it. And then water just started pouring down. And then the alarm went off. And then I got a call. And they said, Sheena, the water is coming down and it is not stopping. Of course, that alerts fire department and the facilities comes with fire trucks and everything. So all of that's uncovered in insurance. So they are diligently working. If you haven't been in, it doesn't look like we're being built again. Like drywall's back up, they're painting. It's great. I'll try to get some water. I said, we're back. So yeah, it doesn't impact the budget that I know. I've been working closely with Mark Young from risk management, but as of right now, everything is covered under insurance.
Any other questions? Senator Dayton and Senator Saperito.
Hi, I really enjoyed your presentation. Thank you for coming. So you mentioned that you provide services for competitive club sports. I always thought that was under the Center for Student Engagement at the Department of Club Sports. So what specific services do you guys provide outside of what club sports?
So we do everything but provide funding. So that includes, so the way that it's set up, when they moved over, we kept all the club funding with ASUN. So everything else moved, disciplinary, training, travel, anything you can think of to help support clubs. My staff and I support that, but when it comes to having this opportunity to request funds for practices, games, travel, uniforms, they can, depending on what tier it is, but they also have to do additional fundraising. So, yeah, so that's how we provide those services. Great question.
Senator Saperito.
Thanks, thank you for the presentation.
Click the button.
Oh,
click the power button once.
You're right. Thank you for the presentation. I really appreciate it. I guess this is, I have two questions regarding your relation to facility services. As you know, Lombardi is not only the pool, there's the studio rooms for the dance and theater department, and as well as the recent extension for athletics with their teams. Earlier this year, facilities, faculty within the Department of Theater and Dance mentioned chlorine fumes were coming out from the Lombardi pool into their office workspaces. Mm-hmm. I was wondering during the construction, obviously related to the extra construction of the building, if there was repairmen, where would facility services ask which department to pay for the repairmen? Would it be you guys, would it be athletics, or would it be theater and dance themselves?
It'd be, so you're asking specifically for the fumes into the office spaces. That would be, if it's not facilities, it may come to us, right? And we're in a situation right now too where it's, because we oversee the use of the aquatic space, the locker rooms are automatic. So anything that comes up with the pool related, it would fall back on us.
And then I just, this is a second question just to ensure it. So specifically with the building, anything related to the pool, is it anything else related to the building? Facility asks them to pay for the ordeals?
Sorry, I said that one.
Besides the, anything that relates to the pool and the building, any department that requests a facility service, does facility specifically ask them to pay for the repairments, or would it, what is their ordeal with your departments?
Yeah, it's it gets a little tricky. So when we moved out, we were told that we had administrative oversight of the aquatic space, the locker rooms, the offices that were restructured after a couple of projects, and the hallway. And I was like, the hallway? Okay. So when it comes to any projects or things that come up, it really does depend on the area. But a lot of the stuff has come to us because I think we lived in there the longest, and then, you know, before they became the School of Public Health, they were upstairs. So yeah, a lot of it does come to us, but I'm a pusher. And I'm like, are we sure this is all us? Right? But just, you know, because it's just a lot of users in the space. You know, Dan's got our old racquetball courts and those dance rooms that were designated for dance, you know, back in the day, so they got all that space too. So I'm just always wondering, and I'm always willing to, but if somebody can just explain to us, because of course, with what we do is serving the students and the student body, we're always going to make sure that we do our part. So thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Really quick one.
Go ahead.
Do I need a mic?
Yeah.
What button do I push?
It's good.
Okay.
Thank you for your presentation. I was wondering, so you said earlier that both internal and external groups would have to start paying for the Marty use. Does that mean that if I was a student next year still, I'd have to start paying to swim in the Lombardi pool, or?
No, just the use of the pool. So your membership covers the pool.
Okay.
It would be like if club, Ringo Wolfpack Aquatic Club, they pay for lifeguards right now in the service fee.
Yeah.
So there would be an internal fee to help support the operation of the pool.
Okay.
And we're charging that because we're looking to hire a full-time aquatics person. Because with the coming to the field house and just that whole area, there's opportunity for growth of not only student workers, but also to for a position. We just don't have a permanent position right now. And then to pay for equipment in the pool. So like a pool lift is like 17K, right? And then if something breaks or facilities is like, hey, you know, this pump broke, we need you to pay a percentage, things like that. So we're just trying to set ourselves up to have like a little reserve to help with the pool projects. Yeah.
Thank you.
See, I'm gonna get a nasty grant.
Any other questions? All right, thank you so much. Back up to agenda items 9, reports of Senate committee, starting off with Committee of Academics and Student Affairs. Senator Kitsch.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I am going to be meeting tomorrow at 5 p.m. in the Executive Student Public Conference Room. We will be discussing the A Student Faculty Service Learning Award and how best to disperse that award. So I will see you on there.
Do you have any legislation in your committee?
Not as of right now.
Okay.
Not right now.
I'm going to ask the same question to all committee chairs, just so I have a tally, because I always keep track of all resolutions and bills that are in committee. So just answer yes, or if it is a yes, what legislation do you have in your committee still? Moving down our list to the Committee on Budget and Finance, Senator Buscelli.
Hi, everyone. Budget and Finance met today, and we, in terms of legislation, favorably recommended to approve the budget reallocations. We also favorably recommended two of Senator Saperino's pieces. So. No more legislation for now, and then we're meeting next week on the 19th at 4 p.m. We're reviewing the elections, government affairs, and people accounts.
Okay. Moving down the list to the Committee on Democratic and Civic Engagement, Parliamentary ESA.
Hey, everyone, you guys have seen the ball?
Yeah.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm sorry I can't be there in person. DCE last met on Friday, November 7th, for the assigned vacant liaison position temporary report for our interim director Hatch on some of the initiatives that the Department of Government Affairs has been pursuing over the last few weeks. The committee will meet again next Friday, November 21st, where we'll hear a presentation from Matthew Little from the Office of Service Readiness and Engagement, and we'll discuss opportunities for collaboration with veteran services in the spring semester. Additionally, once I am back from what's hopefully my final day of the year, I will be scheduling a normal lunch again with Senators Atkinson, Harris, and Dayton, just as I've done with the rest of the committee since the start of the session. So that's my report.
All right, thank you. Oh, that's too much. All right, moving down our list to the Committee of Ideas, Senator Castro.
Yes, the committee and idea met last Friday, November 7th, where we elected a vice chair. Congratulations to Senator Bernanke. We also filled liaison positions, and we saw and are favorably recommending to the Senate table SB 93, a resolution to support Protect the Undocumented PAC. That's
all. Great, thank you. We now have us to the Committee on Government Operations, Senator Bowlander.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Government Operations met on Monday, this last Monday, and we discussed three pieces. SB 93, a bill to make ASUN elected and appointed officials stipends optional. That was Senator Separatist's piece. And then a bill to reform the duties of the Department of Campus and Public Relations, and that is Senator Issa and Senator McAndrew's piece. And then we went over reapportionment guidelines from a meeting in May. And then I failed to delegate SAS audit titles homework to my committee, and so we're going to be going over that in our next meeting, which is going to be the first week of December, I believe, December 1st.
Great, thank you. With regard to the first piece you had mentioned, has that been sent to me by the authors of the chair?
For me, no, I haven't sent that to you. I can get that to you right away.
Okay, thank you. Ready? Yeah, go ahead, so probably take these up.
Yeah, I just got done with the edits that were made at committee for that PR piece, and I'll be sending that to you at 50.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Also, in regard to next week, real quick, there will be two pieces that will be brought forth, and both of those, I believe, will be sent to GovOps, so just keep an eye out for that. There will be two pieces, and I think December 1st is Monday when you'll have your first meeting, so keep an eye out for those. Those should be the only two pieces that are being seen at committee, besides anything that will come out of the woodwork or fast track or anything like that. Okay. Moving down our list to the Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness, Senator Barris.
Hi, Senators. I hope everyone is doing well. The Committee on SSW will be meeting this Friday at 5:30 p.m. and 4:20. We'll be assigning the open liaison positions on the vice chair and discussing SSW meet. If you still have this committee, please follow with me in the Teams chat with the Student Health Center door. That Senator Saporito is coordinating, and then we have the legislation sitting on the committee at this time.
All right, thank you. Moving down our list to the Special Committee on Food Insecurity, Senator Saporito.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you're all having a good night. Special Committee is meeting tomorrow, November 13th, in the PCR at noon. We're going to be discussing assembly members and state senators we would like to bring forth physically onto campus, as well as analyzing the USDA's Atlas database, measuring food deserts within the city of Reno, electing vice chairs and assigning new liaison positions to the new members of the committee, as well as discussing all the methods we can assist PAC provisions, such as the upcoming donation food swipe drive, food and cup donation drives, volunteering hours with PAC provisions and FP. So if you have any questions, just let me know.
All right, thank you. Moving down our list of parliamentary ESA.
Hi again, everyone. Not much to report. I am finalizing the language of the amendments guide that y'all have been hearing to talk about for the past couple of weeks. I've run into delays in getting that out just because I'm finding out that it is surprisingly difficult to translate all the different amendment scenarios into a digestible textual format, but it is being worked on and it is almost done. I'll send a message from Teams and upload the guide to Box when it is completed. And lastly, on Sunday, I did go through the legislation tracker and update it to its most recent rendition, so everything up there should be updated. So, yeah, that's it.
All right, thank you. Moving down our list to Speaker Pro Tem Moore Moss.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a good week. As you can tell, I'm a little tired.
The internship is running smoothly. We don't have very many issues in regards to the internship. This week they'll be looking over Robert's rules and some committee procedures. I'm very excited for them to start delving into this because now they're starting their Senate in Action project, which is them starting to look at legislation and write their own pieces of legislation. I'm also very happy to hear about interns already engaging with not only their mentors, but other senators in regards to legislation that they're trying to draft already. So I'm very excited to see these interns and see what they do. Outreach, I did not assign any points this week or this last outreach period for intern hours, given that I know I wasn't super clear about wanting those 2 hours for this first outreach period. I will be strict, however, on the 2 hours this coming outreach period that's due next Wednesday. So make sure you are meeting with your intern. You can spread out that time however you'd like. It doesn't matter, you can get 2 hours done all at once. I know me and my intern did that last outreach period. We just sat and talked for 2 hours. I didn't know I could talk for that long. But you know, it's however you guys want to spread it out. I'm not gonna be a stickler on that. I'm working on some other stuff. It is, it's finals week for me in some of my classes, so if I'm delayed to getting back to you, just know I'm probably focused on some finals for myself. So if you have questions, feel free to be persistent with me. If I don't respond to you, keep texting me, keep emailing me until you get a response. But yeah, I think that's all I have. I will not be scheduling an intern social for the 21st of November because there are a bunch of dates that conflict for members of this table. So we're either gonna look at a social that's holiday themed, whatever holiday it is around is what it's gonna be themed for, but we're looking at a holiday social very soon, maybe the week after we get back from Thanksgiving or, yeah, but there's too many conflicts on November 21st for it to be productive and impactful. It's also Wicked Day to all those who celebrate, so I want to make sure we have a clear schedule for that as well. But it's mainly the conflicts. I just wanted to shout out real quick. But if you have any questions, please let me know.
Great, thank you. Does anybody have any questions in regards to agenda items 9A through I? Alrighty, moving down to myself and the Committee of Oversight. The committee met this Monday. We reviewed outreach points. Outreach was really good. We used the new form submitted by Speaker Pro Tem Tomas, so thank you. At first, it was a little, it's all in an Excel spreadsheet, and it takes a while to review just because it's a lot of data, a lot of points. Members of the committee can attest to that. But everybody went through. It took us around 10 minutes. It wasn't really too bad. But pretty much everybody had really good outreach, so I'm really proud of you guys. The people who, I think it was probably maybe 2 to 3 people, where we wish their outreach could be a little more, they could just explain more. I reached out to those people, had all that stuff resolved. So, yeah, you guys are doing good. You guys are doing good outreach. Outreach will be due for this period next week, next Wednesday. And then after that, you guys only have one more outreach period, and that'll be due, I believe, December 3rd. I think that technically that's only 1 week. So I'll probably count it in half, so you guys technically will only do 2 hours, and then probably still do 2 hours with your mentor. But still got to figure that out, and I don't have my calendar in front of me. So, but when I figure that out and figure out a solution for that, you guys will be the first to know it next week's meeting. So yeah, and then regarding the points memo, we read it out as follows. We're also doing really good on time at 7 p.m. We're done with reports. We're done with everything like that. All we have left is senator reports and legislation. So. Nice job on that, guys. Alrighty, point memo reads as follows. Atkinson with 2 points, Bart Laws with 1.3 points, Bolander with 2 points, Huang with 3 points, Lawson with 1.3 points, Lucchese with 2 points, McGinnis with 2 points, and the Southern with 1 point. Again, if you guys have any questions or you feel like they made a mistake, I'm human, please contact me and I'm more than happy to correct your guys' outreach or your guys' points. Any questions regarding anything I just mentioned? Questions, comments, concerns, points of interest? All right. Moving down the list to agenda item 10, reports of Senate secretaries. Do you guys have anything you'd like to say?
Nothing really. Just please keep uploading your reports on the box. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you. Moving down, agenda item 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Moving down to agenda item 18A, SBR 93, binding resolution, amending the duties of committee liaisons. This is for possible corrective action. We already had approved this in agenda item 7. So with that being said, I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda item 18A. Unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Senator Calderon. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator McAndrews. Is there any dissents? Any extensions? All right, that being said, that binding resolution has passed. All right, moving down our list to agenda item 18B, SB 93, a bill to allocate $1,000 to the current unused funds placed for vacant seats within the Senate into the Senate outreach budget for FY 2026. Would the author like to give a brief synopsis of the bill?
Yes.
Senator Saperito, go ahead.
So this piece was sent through Budget and Finance, and the basic gist of it is, yes, we have around... Even from last April to today, we still have vacant seats within the Senate table. My main concern is what is happening with the stipends that are placed for these empty chairs, empty seats, and where is it going into the budget? This bill allocates $1,000 of the unused funds within the vacant seats into our outreach budget for senators to engage more with the community, create more events, partner with more departments within ASUN to be more proactive. I did the math and I downplayed it severely. Basically, $1,184 would be in the budget if one senator over 3 months over the summer with the summer wage of $189 biweekly was holding a vacancy. And we haven't had the journalism seat. We just got some engineering seats and business seats over the summer. We don't have a full table. So it's incredibly confident to say we have way more than $1,000 in vacant funds within our general budget. Just wanted to play it safe and do $1,000. But that's pretty much everything.
All right, any questions for the author at this time? All right, seeing none, we're going to be moving on to a debate. Are there any points of discussion or debate at this time? Senator Castro.
Motion
for
previous question, unanimous consent.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Cornwell. Speaking for the four months, I hear you first. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, we'll move on to a vote for agenda item 18B, SB 93, a bill to allocate $1,000 of the current unused funds placed for vacancies within the Senate and in the Senate outreach budget for FY 2026. With that being said, we're going to be moving on to a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Oy. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that bill has passed. All right. Moving down our list to agenda item 18C, SBR 93, binding resolution to add a liaison to the Office of Digital Learning for the Committee of Academics and Student Affairs. Would the author like to give a brief synopsis of the bill?
Yes. Okay. So, with a show of hands, how many people use Canvas today? Okay, so basically what this binding resolution does is it's just adding a point of contact to the office of Canvas, basically. I think, as we can see from this table, almost every single student uses Canvas, if not a daily basis, at least a weekly basis. I think this is just a great point of contact, especially it is used by the student body quite a bit. My hopes for this piece is with this consistent contact, it allows us to gain some more insights on how we can better use Canvas as a tool within ASUN, or if anything happens on like the digital learning side, we'll also have a point of contact with that as well. Yeah, that's it.
Alrighty, thank you. Any questions for the author at this time? I do have a question. This is to Chair Kitch. How many liaison positions are vacant in the committee, along with how many members are in your committee?
Give me one more.
Okay.
I will say, for the record, first of all, for the record, Chair Kitch, but also, Parliamentary Issa and I have briefly discussed this legislation, and he is more than happy to take on this liaison role for the time being. As of right now, seven members. And I want to say we have three or four open liaison positions.
Okay. Can I ask why you guys have so many open liaison positions?
we're not a full committee. I will say, again, for the record, I've reached out to all people, like all the liaison contacts for the unfulfilled liaison spots and said, hey, if you need anything, please let me know. I'm the chair. So they know that there's some issues with quorum being met, or not quorum being met, but attendance of the committee and just having people there. We are working on getting filled. It's just a matter of who can take what and when they can meet and things like that. But for this specific position, Senator Easton said that he'd be more than willing to take it on, as he's not working on
it. Okay. And if that, if this body resolution is passed, how many liaison positions would be in your committee?
Gosh. Three open ones.
How many total?
Yeah, how many total liaison positions?
12 or 13, I think. It's in the
I
don't think it's in the
Open
or you mean total?
Total.
Undergraduate, faculty, provost, admissions records, student services, and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, this would be 12.
Okay. Any other points, questions for the author, Senator Saperito?
This one also kind of goes to the chair of the institute. I was in the government operations committee when we were putting on the Spielberg first reading. Senator McAndrews mentioned, yes, there's a lot of liaison positions within the committee, but they're very low stakes, maybe once a semester, if not. Do you think that's could be an inherent flaw in the issue of not contacting the facilities could be expanded on, or is this just how the normal system goes with the facilities you're contacting?
Sorry, could you rephrase the question? What do you mean? Like,
the liaison positions within ASA, many of them, as was mentioned to me, is it's okay just to contact them once or twice throughout the semester. There's not a lot of weight that's put on the liaison position. Do you think that's a potential flaw with the committee, or do you think that's based on the types of facilities you are outreaching and contacting with?
I think that it's based on the types of facilities we're contacting. When I reached out to, for example, the tutoring centers, I have CC'd all three tutoring center heads, and they all kind of like, yeah, thank you for letting us know. We're not in urgent need or anything, but thank you for reaching out anyways. I don't necessarily see how that is right now, but I'm willing to expand on it more. But I don't think it's a flaw in the committee at all.
Senator McAndrews, is there a question?
I just want to clarify with what Senator Saperito said. So I did sit on ASA, and what I found and what I interpreted from that committee was it's well-established liaisons, like the provost or admissions and records. So given that, we do still meet with those liaisons once a month, but because they are such, like, I don't know, high demanded, it's not as needed as, like, regular meetings or as demanding as other liaison positions in other committees. Would you?
That is a good way to put it, yes. I would agree with Senator McAndrews. A lot of these are higher up things than admin, hence the name ASA, and don't require a ton from us. And so that's why I'd be comfortable in the future giving senators two liaisons, one or more, whoever wants to take it. It's just a matter of getting them signed.
Alrighty, thank you. Any other questions for the author at this time? Alright, seeing none, we're going to move on to a debate. Are there any points of conversation or debate at this time? Senator Custer.
So, point of clarification real fast. So, there's 10 total positions right now. This would have one more, making 11 total liaison positions. Not 12, we can't count apparently. But no, so just point of clarification on that. And then also, just kind of talking about this, I don't know, is it written that we're supposed to be meeting with our liaison positions twice a month, technically, correct? Is that like the technical guidelines? Is that written somewhere? Is that just kind of what I say, just point of clarification?
It is twice, it's once every 2 weeks, I believe, for every committee. So there's that. Certain positions in ASA, you know, like the provost, people have to nail down. I don't think once a month, but once a month. So it's dependent on the committee, but I'm not quite sure what's relevant to the debate right now.
I was just, my only point about it was saying that, just in terms of time limit, with 11 positions, only 9 members,
I mean, as long as we're aware that we're asking members to take more than one position, I think that's fine. But I'm a little hesitant of adding another position when we already have somebody open right now. But I understand that for this specific session, Providence or East is going to take it. But I'm always thinking about the next sessions, right? I think we have some positions and not enough members. That's just my only question. It's more about is there a place where we should take one away that is not a good, like, where they don't need us anymore? I just think instead of adding another one, maybe we should remove one too, so that we keep the numbers somewhat consistent. Because adding all these positions with not enough members, I think, is not helpful for anyone.
We'll go Chair Kish and then Senator McAndrews.
Yeah, I totally get that. As we discussed in committee, I think Senator Giesel's on Zoom or somebody was there. I think that for the intercession, that they need to reevaluate that. That is totally acceptable. I would totally understand that. I think that given the prevalence of the bills that are regarding this position and by the time Giesel is one of the ones to get on, I think it's fine to have it for the time being.
Senator McAndrews.
I move to previous question.
Second.
Second by Speaker Pro Tem Formas. There's not made through unanimous consent. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Please state your reason for dissent.
I feel like there's more conversation that we could have on this piece, and I just want us all to be on the same page about all the details.
Okay. Due to the fact that it was not made through unanimous consent, we're going to put that to a vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
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 Regent Chamber, the nays have it, and discussion is still in motion. Senator Saporito.
Yes, it looks like a lot. I would just like to see if the chair of ASA and the committee of ASA have all agreed that they would like to have a liaison position. Should take that into consideration.
Senator Lucchese.
I was just going to say that we talked about this extensively in ASA. We all know what we're up against. We know what we do. We wouldn't take something on that we can't handle. That's from direct. The bill's affecting us, and we discussed it and made it so that I feel like we are all comfortable with what we're going to be taking on. If you have any points that you'd like to bring up and talk about, please do. We're all on the same page. We talked about it extensively.
Senator Wong and Senator Custer.
I just wanted to reiterate on the premise of this bill. It's not just we're adding the ASA position to add an ASA position. We're adding this ASA position so that we can build an ASU on campus page, right? We're adding this position so that we can better reach out to the student body and connect and utilize the campus.
So this bill is only adding the liaison position. And the reason for adding that liaison position is to help senators for a point of contact if they do want to carry on with it. So, no, it is not establishing or doing anything beyond campus courses,
right.
But it's like helping with a consistent point of contact with that office. I talked with the office directly, and a lot of the discussion was like, yeah, this is a really great initiative, but the problem is there's no consistent contact for more than a session. So if we have a consistent point of contact for sessions to come, then maybe more can come out of it, for sure.
Okay, so to re-clarify my point, this piece is to help toward, like, build towards the potential of a campus page or seeing something like that, right?
So this piece in itself is just addition of ASA, or addition of the Digital Learning Office, right? And if someone wants to, they can, but that's not the point of this bill. The point is just like point of contact, period.
Senator Custer and Senator Barbosch.
No, I just want to clarify. I think it's a great idea to add the liaison position. My concern is, we did talk about this in ASA, but I still have the same concern that I did in ASA. The problem is that it's you're adding the liaison position when we have three open. So why are we not focusing on filling those first? That's what I'm trying to say.
Senator Barbosch and Senator Kish.
So, like, to go off of that point, I think this hasn't been brought up yet. We talked about this in ASA. We can remove liaison roles. So, like, at the very least, if we forget about what the liaison position even is, Parliamentary East has agreed to take on the position, and in the future, if no one really has an interest in this liaison position, then we can scrap it. right? And the three positions that we have open are also due to the fact that we don't have a full committee, right? So I think that there are like safeguards in place to prevent liaison positions from being open, and I don't think that like this argument that like there's a ton of liaison positions why the new one is like necessarily pressing, because we can remove ones in the future. And Robin Tierney says obviously like committed enough to create this liaison position, and like not only that, put himself on the committee and then go into the liaison position. So I think that should be something that is like a driving decision for growth.
To add on to the debate real quick, when I was a senator, I had offered a few pieces that removed liaison positions and moved some around. So if you guys really wanted to move stuff around in ASA, you can do it in a timetable of 2 weeks by simply introducing the bill to committee, and then directly after it will be sent to Senate. So if you really wanted to move some stuff around, change some stuff around before the semester ends, you guys really can, if that's something you guys want to do in ASA. I just wanted to add that on there. Senator Kish and Senator Lucchesi.
Just one clarification I would like to add. The three current open liaison positions in ASA are University Libraries, RHA, and Academic Advising. RHA, you know, Juan's a part of, and he feels comfortable also kind of giving reports around these. And so, in my eyes, it's really only two as of right now, the University Libraries and Academic Advising, both which I've been in contact with. It's not like these liaisons are not, are to be left in the dust. I want to put that out there. I'd also like to add that Senator Issa, two things, one, his hand raised, and two, he's taking on this position as well as Faculty Senate, so it's not like he's just taking on this to add it and be in the committee.
All right, Senator Issa, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Just kind of building off of what other members of this body have said, first I just want to clarify Senator Huang's question. Yes, all of this piece of justice only, like, it has nothing to do with campus directly. It does lay the foundation of having that connection, of having ASU be involved with the Office of Digital Learning, so we can establish and revitalize existing ASU on campus page. That is an initiative that myself and Senator McAndrews have been working on for a little bit. I don't believe this is a foundational piece that needs to pass before we can make this come to fruition. And again, kind of going off of what other senators have said, I am willing to take on this liaison position. And if ASU does have any issues with meeting with their liaison positions in the future, that is something that can be amended. That is something that the committee can change. If you pass a binding resolution to kind of move around your liaison positions, that becomes a problem in the future. It's not like this is something that the future sessions are going to be stuck with forever. I think that establishing this connection with Canvas is vital, or with the Office of Digital Learning is vital. Again, not only because of the Canvas reason as well, but also Canvas is a resource that ASU can utilize to reach out to a wider student body. For example, I'm working with a project with the Senate right now, in which we're going to be sending out a student survey to students via Canvas. And if ASU wants to do something similar to collect student data for whatever purpose it deems necessary, we can do that as well. With this connection. So for those reasons, I believe that we should pass this piece.
Senator Lucchesi and Senator Castro.
Most of the previous questions.
Second.
Point of information.
Hold on. Way too much going on. Senator Lucchesi made his motion first, so we're going to go through that first. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, we'll be now moving on to a vote for agenda item 18C, SBR 93, binding resolution to add a liaison to the Office of Digital Learning for the Committee on Academics and Student Affairs. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Oi. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, that binding resolution has passed. All right, we're going to be skipping agenda item 18D due to the fact that I had made an agendizing error. I had meant to put this piece on for first reading. It is on second, it'll be on for first reading next week, so we're simply just going to move past that binding resolution. So that means that we're moving down to agenda item 19A, Senate Committee Changes and Additions. Are there any Senate Committee Changes and Additions at this time? Senator Radke.
I need to place myself.
Can you please use the mic?
I move to place myself on the Special Committee on Food Insecurity. 3 minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Senator Barbalaz is going to make a sense. Any abstentions? All right, that being said, Senator Reck, you can place in the following committee. Any other Senate committee changes and additions at this time? All
All right, moving down to agenda item 19B, Senator reports. Are there any Senator reports at this time already? Oh boy. All right, we're going to go Senator Bardwaj and Senator Barris.
Hi guys. On Friday, the College of Science Advisory Board invited the College of Science Senators to a presentation. I went on behalf of three of us to give a synopsis on the initiatives we've been working on, including breaking news of former Senator Buddy's departure. I also sat in on the rest of the 3-hour meeting. I sat in a 15-minute presentation, asked a lot of questions about the development of the life sciences building, specifically accessibility, conscious amenities, accommodation facilities like elevators, ramps, bike stands, etc. I thank Dean Hopeis and the rest of the board with the interest, so I would encourage senators that are interested in this, let me know, and I can forward this question to the development team as part of my new pseudo liaison role to the development building development team. That's it.
Alrighty, hi guys. Last week was the Veterans Luncheon. Thank you guys all for coming out and being so willing to help out. This event went great. After the event, Senator Saporito and I put all of our documentation in the box to help out senators planning it next year. And then also, if you're curious on our planning thought process, go ahead and take a look at those documents. And then I have been attending meetings with members of the executive branch. I met with Interim Director Hatch that same Thursday to discuss public health policy and ways that we can have students in public school public health involved in these conversations. This was a very brief conversation, but we plan on meeting later this semester to discuss this further. And then last Friday, I also attended a meeting with Director Lee and the Sustainability Manager, Phoebe Judge. I got to hear about Director Lee's initiatives, while also hearing about how sustainability initiatives can grow in the future. And then I had a meeting today with Senator Miller and Dr. Darn, Associate Dean of the School of Public Health. So we're going to discuss how we can mark our open seat in the School of Public Health and the methods Senator Miller and I can use to connect to our constituents. We discussed using our campus page, the School of Public Health Digest, or even coming to present in classrooms or public health-related clubs. I've also been meeting with my intern, Jasmine. Today I assisted her on giving her tips on speaking with university stakeholders and sending emails. She's very passionate about parking on campus, so I was guiding her on the route she could take to get her outreach and eventually offer her piece.
Before we move on to more Senator reports, raise a hand. I'm just trying to get a count here. Are there any senators who are working on pieces of legislation who would like to send for first reading? Senator McAndrew, I already got yours. I know Senator Caldwell, you're submitting one. Are there any others? All right.
Hold on.
Yeah, what's that?
I sent you a piece that I submitted for second reading. That was the PR piece. And yeah. Then I sent one in to Nick. Chair Bowlander for GovOps.
Okay, and what would be that piece?
That piece is a visual. Hold on. Do you want the official title?
Please.
Okay, give me 1 second. So, built to add visual overview of club funding tiers to club support funding policy manual.
Thank you. So it looks like Chair Bowlander on the 1st of December. We'll have 3 bills for your committee. Any other senators who are submitting stuff? Senator Saporito, you have one?
Me and Parliamentarian Issa are working on 2 or 3 regarding the dance department. So that will go to SSW, I believe.
Okay. Do you know when SSW is meeting next, Senator Rivera?
SSW is meeting this Friday.
Perfect. Have those, when would your next meeting be for those pieces to be seen? Are those Senator Saporito's pieces on the agenda?
Did you ask
for
more meeting
minutes
after this
meeting?
Yes.
December. I have it. Okay, just wondering. Any other pieces before you want to more senior reports? All right. Show of hands, who still has a Senator report? Oh, Parliamentarian Issa, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Hello again. I have a lengthy report this time, so please bear with me. This past week has been incredibly productive, and I'm excited to share several important updates. On Friday, November 7th, I attended the Committee on Idea meeting for my resolution to support and protect my backpack. I'm thrilled to report that the piece passed unanimously, and it should be at the Senate table for second reading next week. Faculty Senate will also be debating and voting on their version of the resolution at their meeting on Friday, November 14th. To my knowledge, this represents the first major legislative collaboration between ASU and Faculty Senate in recent memory, and I am incredibly proud of everyone involved in making this partnership possible.
Great.
On Sunday, November 9th, Senator Separato and I met with representatives of the UNR Theater and Dance Council, where we discussed several initiatives to better support the theater and dance department. These included extending health and medical benefits to dancers, granting dancers permission to use Nightingale Conference for the fall performances, and exploring ways to improve and modernize the dance facilities housed in the Walmart Recreation Center. It was a highly productive conversation, and I look forward to the legislative work that will emerge from it. This morning was also quite eventful. I met with Senator Calderon, Senator Lawson, Senator Bowen, and Speaker Pro Tempore Moss to discuss a piece that will address the concerns students have expressed regarding the newly announced no meeting regulations. We had a productive discussion, and I'm optimistic that once the piece reaches the Senate table for a second reading, it will receive strong support. And later in the morning, I attended the Faculty Senate Campus Affairs Committee, where we reviewed and finalized the structure of a survey designed to increase student enrollment in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning courses. The survey is expected to be sent out to students by the end of the month. And as always, feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions or would like to be involved in any of these issues. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Senator Dayton, go ahead.
This week, I did a lot of outreach. I want to talk about this afternoon. I attended panel talks, and we were able to speak with both President Sandoval and President Thompson. I asked both what they would do if they were ASU representatives. President Sandoval said he would do his best to improve student experience with emphasis on events, and Provost Thompson said he would bother people in positions like his to ask what they were doing, so liaison, I suppose. Naturally, I asked Provost Thompson what he was doing, and he talked about proposing his working on for the Board of Regents this March. The proposal is to introduce a nursing school to UNR, not a nursing school, a veterinarian school. This would be the first veterinary school in the state of Nevada to provide new opportunities for students and the community. He gave me permission to share that here to start creating some buzz and also offered to come present to the Senate about the project in the past. Also, Senator Staffrio and I are still working on the DWPI initiative to bring better devices such as Focus Pros to our students and other students with advanced technological needs. If you have any interest or insight in this regard and can specifically speak to what programs does your major use that are device specific, please reach out to me, Senator Staffrio. That's all.
Great, thank you. Any other Senator reports at this time? Senator Staffrio, go ahead.
Sorry, this is a long one, but it's one not only Carmina and PAC provisions wanted me to share, but I did at the table, considering this is one of the most vulnerable times for our student population regarding food insecurity. We're going to be receiving grocery store cards. Amy Cookies is currently working with PAC provisions, FBNM, and the Safe Food Organization to give grocery cards to students who are eligible for SNAP or can prove that they were affected by the government shutdown. We don't have an exact number on the grocery store cards. Or the pricing they'll be given to the students. I'll give you guys more info shortly. With the donation swipe drive, please tell all your constituents. For example, Nevada Dining only does one donation drive for a year. They usually do just 1 week because the government shut down, they do in 4 weeks. It's going to be November 18th to December 9th. Donate up to 10 swipes per week. It just gives back to people who are on the lower end of the meal plans that can't receive more than 3 meals a week. We're also going to be talking to Nevada Dining and Res Life, how they just presented, seeing if there's a way if we can restructure the meal plan dining situation and basically offer like a donational bank for students to constantly donate for other students throughout the year instead of just it being 4 weeks. There's some volunteer dates for the Food Bank of Northern Nevada if you're July during Christmas season, 9 to 11 a.m. on December 5th, 11th, and 23rd, 1 to 3 p.m. on December 5th, 9th, 11th, 16th, and 23rd. And for PAC provisions, they need volunteers more than ever. Please go and get close if you want to volunteer and assist students. We'll have a food and coat drive on November 10th to December 10th, and on November 17th to the 21st, we'll have PAC rides vans posted outside the Joe Crowley Student Union to receive as much food and monetary donations as possible. And the special committee will be partnering with the departments on programming, sustainability, and government affairs to try to expand the farmers market safely. Instead of having just one location for one event, we can disperse it throughout the entire university and try to push it out at least once a month next semester. Very bad thing to say, exciting time, but we have a lot of programs and initiatives that we're excited to run and help the student body as much as we can. So if you have any questions, let me know.
Okay. Senator Huang and Senator Bartlett.
I have a point. I just had a question.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering, Senator Tucker, what were you saying about
housing and food.
Considering Res Life is closely associated with the Charwells organization in Nevada Dining, we're planning on making a meeting with them, just trying to see if there's methods that we can help restructure the meal plan system to better benefit the student body.
Senator Barbosch,
do you have a set date for your meeting in Nevada Dining?
Not yet. I just emailed them today, but I can give you information when you receive it. Thank you.
Any other senator reports? All right, you guys are safe this week. I'm not calling on any names, so you're welcome. All right, with that being said, we're moving down to agenda item 20, comments, announcements. Are there any comments, announcements at this time? Senator Huang.
I just wanted to say really quick, do outreach before you guys make resolutions and stuff. I talked to the housing and they don't want a resolution regarding the housing price increase just because it can shroud the look that the university has for donor relations and stakeholder relations and stuff like that. So just keep that in mind before go too far.
That's interesting. Can you elaborate more on that? Because I'm actually kind of interested in that.
Can I talk to you after?
Sure.
I don't know what kind of thing.
Sure. Senator Castro.
I just want to say happy birthday to Senator Stafford.
I'm seeking your motion for us all to sing for Senator Saporito for unanimous consent. So moved by the entire table. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, we're all going to sing Senator Saporito. Happy birthday on three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Senator Festers, what information on that? Are the science and engineering seats open on Workday yet or no?
I believe sciences. I think engineering, Louis can answer that.
It's still not worth it. What I'll ask is for them to repost it so that it's at the top where the view is posted. All
right, sounds good. Any questions, comments, concerns on my comments and announcements? Any other comments and announcements? Senator Zaparito.
I'm sorry for talking so much. The best birthday gift would be to anyone that hasn't yet. Please sign the Veterans Banner right outside our room. We got a bunch of Sharpies, whatever. Any color you guys want except red. Yeah, thanks.
All right, thank you. Any other comments and announcements at this time? Senator Bellinger.
I won president of my fraternity. I know I updated you guys that I was running on Sunday, but yeah, I won. So stop by anytime you want to say hi, maybe a house tour, or a rush if you want to come in, maybe join.
But congratulations, President Bowlander. Any other comments and announcements at this time? All right, seeing none, moving on to agenda item 21, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Go ahead. Can someone give Louis a mic? Thank you.
We say hi to the Associate Director for the record. This public comment is made on behalf of Dr. Stern. Good evening, everyone. I wish I could be here tonight with you, but I'm with my family in Texas this week. You may already be aware, but just in case, I wanted to make sure that everyone is aware that Dr. Rodriguez has moved to the Honors College as of this past Monday. We're thankful. We are thankful for her long service to the Center for Student Engagement and the NSUN, and are excited for her and wish her well in her new journey with the Honors College. I will be working with the CSE staff along with ASUN leadership to ensure needs are met and communication is a priority amongst all of us as the path forward is developed. There may be a few bumps here and there, but together we have no doubt we will continue to move forward in a positive direction, stay student-centered, and create opportunities for student engagement and belonging on campus. Thank you. Go back.
Alrighty. Just want to add to that real quick. Just on the way that the legislative branch is structured, Sandy was my advisor. I went to her a few times for a certain amount of things, a certain amount of stuff. She added a lot of good guidance and everything like that. But Luis is here, Amy's here, for you guys as advisors, of course, if you need to be. But if you guys have a question of anything kind of Senate related or anything like that that I can answer, come to me. I'd be more than happy to answer your guys' questions. If you guys want to go to Luis or Amy or anyone else in CFC, please be my guest. But I'm always here as a resource if you guys need me. So yeah, just wanted to add that. Any other public comment?
I'm allowed to.
Sure.
I just, Dylan Moss, and for this public comment, I'll say former co-director of student elections for the record. I just want to say a couple words about Director Rodriguez. As she's making this transition, I'm so happy for her, but at the same time, it's bittersweet because I truly appreciated the vision and the perspective she brought to the association. When I first came to the association, I was hired on as the co-director for student elections and democratic engagement, and Luis hadn't joined us as a full-time staff member yet, and so Sandy was my direct advisor, and she was just a fantastic advisor. She knew when to ask the right questions, when to provide the right guidance, and that flourished into a relationship that we've had these last 3 years in service to our students. And so while I am very excited to see what she does in her new role with the Honors College, I just wanted to give my own little personal send-off to my former advisor, Miss Sandy Rodriguez, and I wish her the best. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any other comment at this time before we move on to agenda item 22, adjournment? Also, guys, we're up at schedule like 15 minutes early, so congrats to you guys. With that being said, moving on to agenda item 22, I adjourn the 93rd Senate session of the Associated Students on Monday, November 12, 2025 at 7:30 p.m., convening in the Joe Crowley Student Unit in room 406 in person and via Zoom.